Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grains of Wisdom, an online webinar from Powerscore Distillery in which we have insightful conversation and some whiskey tasting, it has to be said, with our award-winning master distiller, Mr. Noel Sweeney. So another week goes by. I hope you're all doing really well out there. A little bit of sunshine helping to get us through these difficult times. And I hope you all have some whiskey in the glass this evening to enjoy another webinar with us. So over the past 6 weeks, we've taken you on the journey of the whiskey making process. And Noel has given us some really good detail and foundations in that process for all our fans and followers. So that allowed us to have and enjoy a great tasting with Noel last week in bringing us through our core range of Forcullen Irish whiskies. So this evening, in answer to many of your questions, which have come in to us through your registration and by email over the last number of weeks, and thank you so much for the engagement. We're overwhelmed with the support that we have received for the webinar, and we're very thankful to you all for joining us every week on it. So the questions that have been asked is Noel's distilling career and how he got into distilling, what was his interest that drew him towards that, and so on. So that's what we aim to have a chat about this evening. And I'm delighted that we actually will have some of Noel's team, our assistant distillers, on with us as well in a little while to give us a little bit of insight into how they have come into distilling in more recent times. So as we all know, a number of years ago, I mean, Noel's over 30 years experience now, which in a very long and illustrious career, distilling probably wasn't something that was on the CAO forum back then. So Noel, maybe we can kick off this evening and you can give us a little bit of an insight into, you know, what was in your mind when you started out and left school. I know you had said you always had a love of science. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I started my journey, I suppose, when I left college or school. I went to St. Nathie's College down in Balhadrin in County Roscommon, just on the border with Mayo. And if anybody is interested in GAA football, Balhadrin plays football in Mayo, even though it's in Roscommon, but that's another story. Anyway, I came out of the St. Nathie's, and at the time I was interested in a science background of some sort or another. So I enrolled into the Regional Technical College in Sligo. I did a course in applied chemistry, and I came out of there after the first year, and I got a job in a milk drying plant in Balhadrin, belonging to a company called Shannonside Milk Products. And I was a lab technician there for the summer, and we used to take in tanker loads of milk and convert it into a thick, gooey evaporated milk compound after we took out the cream, of course, and then dried that in big dryers. And my job was going in and out checking the drying plant, you know, and make sure everything was okay. And that was just during the summer, so far cry from whiskey, you might think. But anyway, when I graduated, started looking for a job, and I eventually got an interview with a company called Chemiki Chorinta, and I got the job. And but it wasn't even in the alcohol at that stage. I joined in Ballina, a small plant in Corrie, which is a few miles outside Ballina. And they were making glucose syrup from starch. So it's actually a process that's very much similar to producing grain sugar. In other words, you're making the sugar from dried starch, and it was starch that was coming, maize starch as well. So it went through a process, and my job in there was a lab technician. And I joined there in 1978 in December, and wasn't long there till I got transferred to another section of the company, which was involved in the production of alcohol. And they had Chemiki Chorinta was set up in the 1930s to make alcohol from potatoes. And as time went on, they diversified a little bit into different production plants. The plant in Ballina started making glucose syrup from starch. There was one in Donegal making starch from potatoes, and there were only two distilleries actually running when I joined, and that was in Carindonagh and in Cooley, and a third one was mothballed in near Letterkenny. So my first role was as a laboratory technician, and I was working with there's me in the middle. My goodness, that's an old photograph.
Very young looking there and all.
Yeah, I actually had a bit of hair then. and my God, sideburns even. But anyway, brings back a lot of memories in Donegal. Anyway, that was me setting up a small laboratory in the plant in Donegal in Carindonagh. And the idea was that they had the technology of fermentation and distillation and all the rest of it was there, but they didn't have an awful lot of people on in the distilleries doing the quality control. And they had moved from making industrial alcohol into producing what we call beverage spirit, which was neutral spirit. And my job was to try and improve the quality of the beverage spirit. So for a little while, I was working with Kevin McNamara, who was the chemist. He left Kenmickey Turrington and joined Irish Distillers as their chemist. And a few years afterwards, actually, Kevin offered me a job in Irish Distillers, but at the time, I had decided not to join them. Anyway, during that time in Donegal, we had some serious fun because we developing new techniques for analysing the spirit. We were using gas liquid chromatography, which was brand new. And remember, back in them days, they didn't have mobile phones or anything like that. To make a phone call to Dublin, you had to book it. And you had this wind-up telephone job that you had to ring and call the exchange and then say, can I get a call at 10 o'clock? And then you'd be lucky, she might ring you back if you had a chance. And we used to use a telex machine, like a one-finger job, you know, click, click, click. I learned how to type. I'm still doing it back then.
But, that's really taking people back. I'm sure a lot of our millennials today wouldn't
dream of that.
You know. It worked.
But we managed along nicely. And then I got transferred from Donegal to Cooley for, I think that was in around about early 1980s. And I was there for about a year or two, and they had ramped up production a bit because at that stage Baileys had come on the scene. Now the spirit that we were producing was going to Gilby's, and it was a neutral spirit for tasting, so we used to taste it. So that's where I got involved in tasting spirits and differentiating on nose, because the quality check, we used to bring the sample from Kenmickey out to Gilby's. They'd smell it against the standard for Smirnoff. And if it was good, we got a thumbs up. If not, we'd have to find a different tank to send them. And that happened occasionally until we got our act together. And eventually we were able to produce the spirit to the quality and the standard that they wanted.
And Noel, was that where you first, appreciated, you know, the standards and quality that had to be adhered to, and maybe that was your interest in terms of going into your master's in quality management?
Well, yes, I was originally, as I said, I started as a laboratory technician. I became a production supervisor when I was in Ballon in Donegal for a while, and then moved to Cooley. And the guy I mentioned earlier, Kevin McNamara, he was our quality manager sort of chemist, and he moved to Irish Distillers. He was replaced by a girl for about 6 months, and then she moved, and then I got the job as quality manager. So, and again, that was my role, was to make sure that the neutral spirit we were making in both Cooley and Donegal got approved. And I was based in a head office in Dublin for about 6 months for that period of time. So Kenmickey was a semi-state owned company, and eventually the company was shut down in 1986. And there were various reasons for that. Baileys had taken off as a product. They Kenmickey couldn't keep up with the demand. They wanted to use an Irish spirit, and Kenmickey didn't, were a semi-state company, so they were anti-competitive. The European Union and all that carry-on was coming in. So anyway, it went into voluntary liquidation in 1986. And at that stage, I moved to the guy that gave me the job in Kemaki. He had set up his own company in about 1983 or 84, I think it was. And he offered me a job in Galway as a I was going to operate the pilot plant, and he had a company that was set up to produce food flavors and pharmaceutical intermediaries. And so that's when I started making flavors like ethyl vanillin and strawberry aldehyde and raspberry ketone. And I mentioned some of that in the previous webinars. And we were going to build a new chemical plant in Barna in the Gaeltacht. Now, anybody knows me, I'm not very good at the cupola focal, but I get by a little bit, but it was a bit of a daunting task at the time. But anyway, that plant didn't get built because the local people down in Barna objected, because the flavors that they were using were quite pungent, I suppose, in a lot of ways, but and they didn't like the idea of the smells coming from the chemical plant. So it eventually got built in Athlone and still running very, very successfully. But during that time between 1986 and 1989 that I was with Arran Chemicals, that's when Cooley Distillery was set up, when John Teeling purchased the plant in Cooley with the intention of making a whiskey distillery out of it. And while I was still in Arran Chemicals, I had been asked by one of the managers there, a guy called Eugene Smith, to have a look at some of the analysis that they were doing in relation to the spirits that they were supplying to the Irish market before they started whiskey. So I trained up a girl in the procedures and tests that we were conducting before I left. And anyway, long story short, she moved into the beer business in McCarroll's in Dundalk. And I contacted Cooley Distillery. I was talking to David Hines, who was the general manager there. And I asked him if there was a job going, and he says, yeah. He said, so that's when I joined in June 1989 as the quality manager. At that stage, they had a distiller called Alan Jappy, and Alan was a Scottish guy, and he had started the process of mashing. At that stage, they were actually mashing. They used to bring in the malt already milled and arrive into the distillery. Nowadays, that wouldn't be allowed under new GI rules. You have to mill on your own site. But Alan was there for about a year. And in 1990, September, we started to produce grain whiskey as opposed to malt, which we had started in 1989. In June 1989 was the time we put the first spirit into casks. And there's a photograph of a few years later with this gentleman
toasting the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, indeed. Another guy that ended up in he was actually a bus driver from Belfast and ended up owning a whiskey distillery in Belfast, but unfortunately that didn't work out for him. As I said, a guy called Gordon Mitchell joined us in 1990, and Gordon's Alan Jappy moved on, and Gordon's took over as the distiller. And Gordon's role was more in line with, you know, now he was a good distiller, he was very good in malt, but his primary job was to look after the grain plant, which he did very successfully. And my job and role within the organization then was to keep track of the spirit and the stock and stuff like that. And it was at that stage, I was still quality manager, Gordon was in charge of distilling, but I was keeping track of the production in barrels and in the warehouse. And we didn't have fancy spreadsheets at that stage. I think I was using a pirated edition of Lotus 123 that I kind of got my hands on somewhere. But so I had always an interest as well in technology and in computers and that. And so I picked up this course that was going on in Dundalk Regional College, but it was a diploma in information technology. So I did that, and I followed that line until eventually I got a degree in IT. And that helped me to set up a database in Cooley, which tracked the stock over time, right up until the time I actually left Cooley. And it was quite an interesting project for me as well. But it was enabled us, because it's a very difficult process, is managing the stock. There's a photograph of me on the right there, and there's John Teeling on the left, and David Hines in the middle. And that was the year we won the International Wine and Spirits Competition Distiller of the Year Award.
That would have been the first of many awards that came your way after that.
Yeah, well, it was one of the main ones that we won. That was a great night.
A great moment.
And that piece of glass that David Hines is carrying, my God, it was a single piece of glass blown. And I remember him bringing it back from London and going through the scanners, and the guy in the security says, that must be an exceptionally good piece of glass. Because he says there was no flaws in it. Actually, there were a few bubbles, but they were planned. And it's a lovely, lovely piece of artwork, actually.
Noel, I might just comment on the fact that you did a number of different courses there, and just because this, I suppose, is for people who want to get into distilling, the continuous education that you have engaged in throughout your career, it shows your love of learning, your curiosity, and I suppose when an opportunity presents itself, the ability to hone your skills to kind of move on, and that's quite a good attribute to have in any job, but it seems to be able to be ready to take the opportunity when it arises.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a great believer in taking on as much education as you can and making it available to the guys that work with me as well. I mean, every day is a learning day. There's no dear doubt about that. And it's funny, I had a Zoom call there with our friends over in the state in Canada about a week ago, and they were all lecturers and they were part of a tasting group, and that was one of the questions, is did I consider that I had learned everything and I was now the expert in Irish whiskey? And it's only a fool that thinks that they know everything, and that's the way I feel anyway. Every day, as I say, you learn something new. I've learned stuff over the last couple of weeks doing these webinars, because I've had to go and prepare the slideshows that we've done. And in doing that, you're going back and revisiting stuff that we would have done years ago. But, it's easy how things go in this ear and out that one. But, refresh your memory, get back into it, and it's amazing what you do learn. But at that time, as I said, I had an interest in IT, and I wanted to develop that. I would have loved to have done other degree courses perhaps, but they weren't available. I did this one because it was through the Open University in DCU, but it was based in the Dundalk Institute of Technology. So I used to go in there for lectures, and every month or so I'd go up to DCU as well. So it was fun. And eventually I got my degree, and a couple of years later, then at that stage, about 1992, I think we produced our first peat malt, then in 1993 Irish Distillers tried to buy the plant from us, and I got my diploma initially in 1994, and that's when we had really started to make our blends and produce product for various people. And when you had, I think we had something like a couple of hundred SKUs, it's very difficult to maintain the standards and scientifically, keep a track on your stock unless you have the benefit of a good IT database. So that's when that came into its own. But then eventually an opportunity came up to do a master's, and I did that in total quality management, and I graduated out of that in 2006. But all of those times, that was the formal education bit. The informal bit is much more fun, I can tell you, because you're learning on the job. And I did an awful lot of that with the people that were in various plants and distilleries. I mean, my first introduction to distilling was with Anthony Owens back in Kemmickey, Eugene Smith, who was there also. He was the general manager when I left them, and we were distilling grain, and that's the our grain distilling neutral spirit, and grain production is very similar to that. And then when we started in Cooley with whiskey, the likes of Gordon Mitchell was invaluable, and Gordon left in 1995 and went off then to join Isle of Arran Distillery, and again, you know, it's a small business. But I remember the first time Gordon and I went to Scotland was in about 1991, and we went to Pentland Research, and that was my first real experience of Scotch whiskey. And in Pentland, we met Dr. Jim Swan and Harry Rifkin, poor Jim passed away a couple of years ago, but he was a renowned expert in wood. But that's where he started his journey as well. He did an awful lot of research back then. And at that stage, they gave me a flavor wheel, one of the first ones that was produced. And that was a great asset to me, learning the skills of saying, cherries and blossoms and whatever the hell else you get out of these whiskies. You know, that was a great grounding. And then in 1992, we produced our first peated malt. And that's when we had the likes of Bill Murray coming over, who is noted for writing those whiskey Bibles in that time. And it was a great tribute to us that I remember the day that we were actually had our first distillate come out, and Jim actually was in the distillery at that stage at that week, and we gave him a sample of the peat malt, and he was just so overwhelmed by it. He thought it was the bee's knees and cat's pajamas, and he wasn't far wrong. And he was one of the
if you do say so yourself. It's good. Yeah. To have all of these great names in whiskey from a global perspective, Noel, it must have been great to be in their company and learn from them, as you said, on the job.
Absolutely. And it was we were growing up with the spirit as well, because as I said, we didn't have any old whiskey to play with. We started with fresh distillate in 1989 and 1990. And then it was about 1992, Bernard Stewart were looking at taking over the company, and that's when I first met with Billy Walker. And Billy Walker is another icon in the business. He's since moved from Bernard Stewart to Brookladdy, and he's currently involved in a couple of more distilleries at the moment in Scotland and in Ireland. And then I also met a guy called Ian McMillan, and Ian was the distiller in Auchentoshan at that time as well. And eventually Ian is now a very well-known Scottish distiller and a consultant in his own right. And then I think in 1992, it was Bernard Stewart tried to take over Cooley Distillery, but unfortunately that fell through, mostly as a result of there was a bit of a crisis in currencies at that stage, when the Irish pound was part of sterling and the EMF, I can't remember exactly, but anyway, there was a run on the pound because it was a bit connected to sterling, and they had to devalue, but that screwed up the whole sterling pound relationship, and Bernard Stewart just walked away. So the next opportunity didn't come up then until 1993, when there's Billy Walker, a great friend and a great colleague, and really knows his whiskey. And Billy was extremely well thought of in the number of expressions and different styles and cask finishes that he brought out. And is a really gentleman from Scotland. But getting back to 1993, then in October, that's when Irish distillers tried to take over Cooley. And I think at the time they said they wanted to shut it down and bulldoze the distillery, but that didn't happen. As I said, that's then, I think in 1995, that was up to then. When that didn't happen, we stopped production for a while, and that's when Gordon left Cooley and joined Isle of Arran. That left me and David and John too, and the rest of us flapping around, but we managed to pull through. And we started then supplying whiskey to the kind of the supermarkets. And in 1995 as well was the first year that I went and joined the International Wine and Spirits competition as a judge. And I met some really, really interesting people and characters in the industry there. There's so many of them, the likes of Bill Lumsden from Glenmorangie. We had David Stewart from Grants and Glenfiddich. You have people like Jim McEwen, that guy had such a way with words and explaining flavour and all the rest of it. It was just unbelievable. And then there were other people, David Stewart went, and these guys I meet every year, most of them anyway. And David Stewart is a winemaker from South Africa, a keen whiskey man. And there were others, and there were people from the supermarket trade as well. A guy called Derek Strange, who was the buyer for Waitrose. And myself and Derek had a bit of a tiff one time over whether or not peated Connemara could be regarded as an Irish whiskey because it was peated. And but anyway, we got over that.
But just on the peated, Noel, I mean, obviously the Connemara is world renowned and won many awards and accolades. And there was a question there just from Sergio's. At the time, how important was Connemara to the distillery, Cooley Distillery? When you first came out of it, obviously it was trying to bed it in as an Irish whiskey. But at the time, it gives a little bit of context.
Well, I mean, we were the new guys on the block kind of thing in the production of whiskey, and we needed to have, we had a strategy, I suppose, of having a large number of products so that, you know, if one of them took off, happy days. Actually, I distinctly remember thinking to myself when we launched Kilbeggan in America, I says, if this takes off in America, I don't think we can supply the demand. Now, that didn't actually happen that way, but, you know, over time you have to build your sales, and it's a slow process. It takes time. So the number of different products that you can have in the market, sometimes that's a very good strategy to improve your volume of sales. So peated whiskey was something that hadn't been done in Ireland for I suppose 60 or 70 years, at least not commercially anyway, but it is a flavour that we've researched back to the 1800s, and there's all kinds of debates over what peated whiskey was produced. But because of the way that Irish whiskey went through a huge increase and then a decline, and we ended up with just one producer, they tried to differentiate Irish whiskey as being different from Scotch, which had taken up that challenge of volume and taste. And they had advocated that all Irish whiskey was triple distilled and not peated, which actually was true at the time, but not over time. And so there you have the original, well, it's the newer version of the original Connemara. And Cooley had the idea that, well, let's put in a peated malt, why not? There's nothing to say, but you couldn't. In the 1989 Irish Whiskey Act, there's no mention at all of peated malt, and this is actually quite a loose piece of legislation in some respects, very simple and very straightforward. But that has now changed, and we had to, with the GI, the geographical indications that come out of the European Union, we have now got a technical file that gives you a fairly robust a systematic methodology of how you make Irish whiskey, and it includes peated malt as well now.
There is, I suppose, a lot of chat around peated whiskey, and you know, for various distilleries, you know, are we going to bring out an expression and so on? And as we said last week, we have a pipeline of innovation coming through, which we will impart to people over the coming weeks and months. But it would, I think, at this point, Noel, it'd be you mentioned some of the great names there that you met and that you learned from. And Billy Walker was obviously one of them in terms of the blending. So, you know, lots of people know you're obviously a master distiller and an inductee into the World Whiskey Hall of Fame, but you also have very much honed master blending skills, which are, you know, again, an expertise in itself. So maybe you can talk to us a little bit about learning with Billy and how that came about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first blend that we had to come up with was that Kilbeggan, which was we weren't able to buy whiskey in, and like a lot of the new distilleries, including ourselves, have done now, from existing suppliers. Irish distillers at the time just didn't want to know anything about Cooley Distillery. It was a real pain in the behind, I suppose. So we had to rely on our own stock. So we had, first of all, produce malt whiskey, because obviously malt takes a bit longer to mature. And then we started producing grain a year later. And then peat malt came along as another alternative. So we basically had two different styles of whiskey, a grain and a malt. And if you're trying to produce a lot of different products from just two spirits, you kind of limit yourself. So the only way to get around that is by having different styles of wood, or maturing it in either brand new bourbon barrels, is what we did a lot of at the start, because again, we had no other choice. We didn't have emptied casks, because we didn't have any to empty until 1994, 93. So the whole process of blending then is all about trying to be consistent with a product, trying to get a product that's balanced. So you have to get the right combination of malt and grain, or a combination that works. There's times that you would mix these together. And it's the blending itself tends to be more scientific and based on what's you've got in your warehouse. So if you have a huge volume of grain and a small amount of malt, well, then you have to get the proportions right. You have to work out that, well, I can't afford to put 50% malt in a blend if I've got five times much more grain than I do malt. So you're looking at a 20% blend. And even at that, if that doesn't work, you're tweaking it up and down a little bit, or you're using different ages or different wood styles. So there's a whole matrix. I always say to people, we had three spirits: malt, grain, and peat and malt. We would have had brand new bourbon, second fill, and third fill. We didn't refill casks any more than that. So you now had three spirits and three different categories of wood. So that gives you a matrix of nine. And if you do your combinations and these kind of things, you have a huge variety of possible blends. And better, then you can change the proportions of any one of those nine plus ages to give you again a different blend. So it wasn't really that difficult to come up with a range of different products, as long as they were all mixtures of malt and grain and maybe a little bit of peat. So Cooley, for our own blends, we had our Kilbeggan was our main one, and that had a higher concentration of malt than any of the supermarket blends. The likes of the Connemara was a standalone peated whiskey initially, and that went up then to eventually where it was when I was leaving. We had a mixture of 4-year-old, 8-year-old, and 6-year-old peated malt in there. We did a couple of different finishes, etc., which always helps when you're trying to get a little bit of a change in a whiskey or a product. And, you know, so there's a whole art of blending, and to get the balance right is always the key, and to get the balance right. Somebody once said to me, he says, the art of a master blender is to get the best value out of the stock that you have in the warehouse. Think about that for a little while, and you begin to realize if you're going to sell a product at 20 euro, then you can't be putting expensive older whiskey in there. You have to get that balance right as well. So there are a lot of factors involved in coming to a product that you're able to sell at and make money at.
It's a real mix of the expertise and the skill involved with the commerciality of from a business perspective. And I think in the early days with Cooley, when it was like David and Goliath, you know, as you said, you were coming out with a lot of different products, trying to see what actually got the traction in the market. And that whole area is actually of real interest to people. Oh, yes, exactly. People are asking what you're drinking this evening. So some lovely blend there. And just, I suppose, to kind of answer that question for people, it's not really about the early days and how you got into distilling, but we do have a great chat planned for the days at Cooley, and we've invited a couple of your key colleagues to join us in that chat, which I think will be of real interest historically to a lot of people. And we're hoping to do that over the next month or so. We're just firming up dates now at the moment, so we might actually Noel just cut it there just for the moment and just let people put some questions in, and in the meantime we might bring in Dara and Johnny, who are your assistant distillers, some members of our fantastic distillery team, and we'll be meeting the rest of them in future webinars. But I think, Dara, what maybe you can bring is a little bit of a perspective from a more recent context of how you developed your interest in distilling and what road you took to getting into assistant distilling today.
Yeah, I can. Thanks, Caroline. I suppose I had started from both an academic and kind of a love for brewing. I went to college back in 2009 and I was doing a course in bioscience and biopharmaceutical. Biopharmaceuticals is kind of it's a part of biotechnology that essentially looks at using fermentation to make medicine. So I actually started studying fermentation from a very early stage within that course. At the time, the course was actually set up by my mentor at the time was Dr. Derv Murphy, and he was actually ex-Diageo, and he worked on yeast, and he was very, very talented at actually explaining different, I suppose, flavors and different compounds that come from yeast and where that fits in both the brewing and the distilling industry. So this course actually ended up becoming the founding, or at least the foundation for the distilling and brewing courses now in the Institute of Technology in Carlow. When I had got to my final year, I'd done a thesis on whiskey, and it was actually a whiskey from the 15th century in Kilkenny. And I'd done quite well in the thesis, and I was able to learn about all about brewing and kind of how whiskey is made. And from there, I actually started looking further into brewing and how home brewing is done. So I actually started my own home brewing. When I had finished college, I had got a job with a small company that did bottling and blending for cocktails and cream liqueurs and liqueurs in the middle of Ireland, and I was a QC technician, similar to how Noel had started out, and I was actually testing multiple different products of incoming goods. A lot of them at the time were whiskey, because whiskey naturally is part of cream liqueurs, well, the majority of them anyway. So at the time, 2 years into that, my job with I suppose the small firm, they had been acquired by a bigger firm, and some people would actually know them as Dublin Liberties. So they started looking at bottling and doing some downstream processing of the whiskey that would actually come out of this firm. So I would have started, I suppose, upskilling and started learning through the Institute of Brewing and Distilling on distillation and downstream processing and how all of that is actually done. So I started doing my general certificate at the time in distilling through the Institute. So the Institute are actually quite good. They're able to help an awful lot of people at distance learning, or you can actually do one-to-one, or you can do multiple different ways in classrooms as well. And they're very good at teaching both the brewing and the distilling aspect. So I had started helping with the whiskey, I suppose, being bottled and downstream processed at the time. And one whiskey that I always kind of found coming in quite often was actually coming from Cooley. And at the time I was, I suppose, interested in the different types of whiskies that were in Ireland and the different players in the whiskey industry, and Noel's name was always the one that used to pop up the most. So I suppose from there I started researching a little bit more, and I started actually looking at doing a little bit more on the education side. So I started going for my diploma in distilling. As well as that, I was also looking at commercializing some products in the brewing industry. So I'd actually started joining a couple of different societies. So I'd started joining brewing societies, and I started joining the Whiskey Society. And at the time then, the Kilkenny Whiskey Guild was actually formed when I was in that area. So, you know, you can learn an awful lot from all these societies and all these guilds. There's an awful lot of people out there that are actually experts in their fields, and they're able to help an awful lot. So I'd spent 4 years with this company, and then I'd moved into food service in beverage systems. This was actually very good because I was able to learn about the commercialization and all the different types of products that are out there and different means and ways of doing different things. I was working mostly on the research and development within the food industry at the time, but I spent about a year in this industry when I actually felt I had to go back to the alcohol industry. So lo and behold, I kind of reached out to one of my colleagues in the former business, and he had actually said that there could be a startup that might be interested in somebody. And about a week or two later, I got a phone call from Noel, and he asked me, this was his first 2018, he asked me whether I could come down and see the site, might be of interest to me, it might not. And so Noel and we had a chat, and went to see the site in the early days when it was only, I suppose, for half the distillery was there. The roof was practically, you know, mostly a sheet. There was the bare bones of a brewing kit sitting there, and the stills were wrapped up in plastic. So it was very early days, and I suppose they had kind of been blown away that I was like standing looking at the man that I had learned an awful lot about. And from there, I suppose I just waited for a call back from Noel, and I was lucky enough to receive that. And in early 2018, then I started working under Noel and started the commercialization with him and the Foresight team and getting the whole plant operational. And not too long after that, then from I think August, then we had Johnny, our other assistant distiller, join us.
Well, thanks so much, Dara, for giving us that insight. And it just goes to show you there's so many different avenues where there's a will, there's a way. And I think getting yourself in front of people like in the Whiskey Society, as you said, where you can just learn so much. And we're so lucky, really, in the last 10 years that there's such a proliferation of interest in and in people in these societies to help us out. And not to mention the new courses that are available. So obviously the one you did yourself in Carlow, but there are now some new ones. I think you said in UCD and UCC as well.
Yes, so UCC have a food science, DIT actually have one in distilling, Carlow Institute of Technology have one in brewing and distilling, as well as that the Institute of Brewing and Distilling themselves, and then there's Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh. So there's multiple different avenues.
Yeah, and I think as Noel mentioned earlier, there's so many other courses in chemical engineering and agricultural science and so on. So there's always lots of different avenues to explore if you are interested in this area. So we got a question in there, Dara, from Niall, and he's very interested in your thesis on 15th century whiskey in Kilkenny. He's wondering, is it published? He'd love to read it. So perhaps we can put you in contact after the webinar, and you can follow up on that with him. But thank you so much, Dara. I really appreciate that. And last but not least, Johnny, who is our other assistant distiller. And Johnny, you have a different story again in terms of how you got into distilling. So can you give us the rundown there?
Yeah, so I'm not into the alcohol scene for just coming up to 5 years now, but left Kilkenny College in 2005 from Carlow myself, a small little town's land there in McGainy, County Kildare, on the border of Carlow itself. I literally left school in 2005. I went to car mechanic, and then when I left school for roughly about 2 to 3 years, as well as helping my father on the farm. And he was also into lorries, and he had haulage. And back then, about 09, then I left my dad. As you know, families can't get along, so I parted ways, and I got into the industry of precast concrete. So it was in a small little town down in Buncloddy, County Wexford. Drumderry Aggregates was the name of the company, and literally making hollow core flooring, precast stairs, anything at all to do with concrete, that's what we were doing. And I suppose in early 2014, then we got a job doing the floors and the stairs in the Walsh Whiskey Distillery. And we were there for a good few months. And at the same time, my mum and dad had a Victorian house in Loughlin Bridge, and they were doing a B&B, a guest house, in a small way over roughly about 3 to 4 years. And that's where I met Mr. Jack O'Shea. So he was working down in O'Hara Brewing Company in Bangnestown. And an odd Saturday morning, I used to throw him a full Irish breakfast and maybe a Weetabix if we were having whiskey or that the night before with my dad. And literally at the start of 2015, then the distillery was finished in Carlow, and it came up then on the Carlow Nationalist that they were looking for operatives to send in CVs. So my dad rang me on a Wednesday, and the CVs had to be in by the Friday. So I literally sent in the CV on Thursday, and I told him on the phone, gee, I don't think I'll be able to get it, but sure, I'll send it in anyway. So I sent it in, and 2 weeks later, I got a phone call and an email from Aidan Finnegan. He was from Northern Ireland. He was working in a bottling hall plant in somewhere in Scotland. And I had to go through about 5 to 6 interviews. So I got down to the final 25, managed to get in, and started there on the, when was it? 2015. I started in the 25th of January 2016. That's when I started. So they were still commissioning the plant down there. And Neil Bowe was the name of the manager over 4 sites. They were building the plant. And in that time then, Aidan Finnegan was giving us a little rundown on obviously how to squeeze in pot still. So we were doing small tests in the lab, and learning about boilers and stuff like that. And in the evenings then, when everyone was gone home at 5 o'clock, I used to stay on with Neil Bowe, and Grant Morrison was actually just started with 4 sites. So he was there, and Crowley Engineering. So I was learning everything about roller mills, augers, everything you could think of. Steam boilers. Steam
just like Noel said there, Johnny, it's the curiosity in learning and yeah. You know, wanting to really be enthusiastic and learn more. So sounds like there was lots of learning on the job.
Lots of fun, yeah, definitely. Lots of fun and learning. And my hobbies was into the steam engines and stuff like that. So it was like a small scale into a massive scale, massive steam generator. So it was amazing. And then we started mashing then in, was end of February, coming into May, we started mashing there. And it was on a Tuesday, I can still remember, it was on a Tuesday, Neil Bowe came into us. He was giving us 2 days how to mash. So he came in on the Tuesday, gave us myself, David McAvoy and Jerry Kavanagh. We literally got a little bit of a rundown, and on Wednesday evening, he told us, she's all yours. So we were left on that then for another 6 months. It was brilliant. We started off on low G's, started working our way up, and then it was just a tally then on every day who was going to get the better OG on the mash tun. But no, exciting times. And then we also got rundowns, which got to meet loads of lovely people, showing us how to smell and nose and taste whiskey with Shane Fitzharris and Woody Kane, all them guys. And I still talk to them to this day, so brilliant guys. And then we got, I also got to meet.
And how Johnny, then, in terms of, obviously you were working with Walsh's and, you know, such success, and obviously being some of the Irish whiskey brands that have been, you know, on the world stage for a number of years. So when or why then did you decide that you were interested in moving, or where did you hear about Paris Court Distillery first?
Yeah, so I was literally watching it online. I was also talking to Jack O'Shea at the time, and I knew that Noel Sweeney, Jack O'Shea, Neil, one other, Jack, John Teeling, guys like that, had the years on the extraordinary whiskey and everything. I was able to mash and distill and run the column still, and I just wanted a little bit more knowledge. I was able to learn stuff on the internet and books, but I wanted to learn more stuff off of someone that had done it. So Noel actually came down to me in early 2018. I don't know if he remembers it. And I still remember he came down and I showed him around the whole distillery and showed him the column still and the spirit we were producing. And then we went back out. I was walked out to his car and I told him I might meet him again at some time again. So literally was keeping an eye on the Power Score Distillery coming on.
You obviously made an impression, Johnny.
I must have done.
Yes. So you met him again then after that?
So I kept a close eye on the Power Score Distillery on the online, and seeing that it was an absolutely super plant, the way it was built and the way the design of everything, effluent, cooling tower, everything was super job. So literally went up one day. I know they were still in the building commissioning stage. The VC was still being built, but the distillery was finished. Literally went up on the, it was early summer. And went down to the area where Jerry and all the office crew were down in the old office and knocked on the door. And there was Jerry Ginty sitting inside the door, pulling his hair out. And I knocked on the door and I said, "Sorry, sir, could I leave in a CV to Noel Sweeney?" And he said, "Jeannie Mackey, you've only missed him." So I had drove up all the way from Bunclody, but however, I left in the CV. And about 2 weeks later, I got a call. Would I mind coming up and meeting himself and Alex Pierce? And they took me out to the hotel and gave me coffee and looked after me so well. And that's how I started in Power Score Distillery.
And we're delighted to have you as well as Dara. It is about skills and, you know, but there's a lot of personality and perseverance and just, you know, the love of learning and I suppose the love of the industry in general, which, you know, you definitely have shown in spades, Johnny. So thank you so much for giving us a bit of insight into your route into distilling. And I hope that this evening we have shown our audience and anybody who watches the webinar on YouTube that where, you know, there's a will, there's a way. There's lots of different avenues into achieving your ambition and following what you love. And I think, you know, we have a great team here who have all followed, you know, their love of distilling. So, as I said earlier, we will be going into a bit.
I'd just like to say thanks very much to everybody and specifically to Dara and Johnny. They're great guys to work with and it's been a pleasure. And I see Karen, you're back online, so maybe you'd like to.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. It wasn't me anyway.
A few gremlins in this flaming Zoom thing every week. Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, God. All I was going to say, Noel, was just to reiterate again that, you know, in such a long and experienced career, there's so many stories and so many different avenues that we can explore and develop. And I think something that will be of real interest to a lot of people is, you know, a chat about the time at Cooley and all the awards and being the disruptor in the Irish whiskey industry. At the beginning, probably, of the renaissance that, you know, we're currently experiencing. A tiny little blip at the moment, but no doubt that will come back. So as I said, we will be advertising that on all of our social media channels over the next few weeks. We do have another webinar planned for next week, another very interesting chat and conversation with Noel, and we do hope you'll tune in for that. We'll have a little bit more information on that tomorrow. In the meantime, do let us know what's in your glass each week. We love to hear. There's lots of comments coming in, Noel, around Noel was saying, it's like being in your front lounge having a chat with you, and great to hear such open and honest recounting of your career. Thank you so much to Johnny and Dara for sharing. And there's another few comments on different courses that are available as well. So there's one in West Set Level 2 course. Nick Ryan runs that. He's a member of the local Whiskey Society. So thank you for that, Michael. And if you have any other questions over the next week or any particular topics you'd like us to cover, please let us know and send us an email in response to your invitation to the next week's webinar. And in the meantime, we'd just like to cheers everybody and ask you all to stay well and stay safe. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Thank you so much. Thanks, Noah.
Smile, Chuck.